Hello, everybody. Hasn't this been a wonderful week? Glory to God. And the thoughts of people and the decisions that people make. And like one man, like this one woman said, the people that some people marry. Well, that's as far as I'm going to go with that. Praise you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we worship you most of all for this marvelous book that contains all the answers to life and godliness. It pulls no punches. And we thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look today. We're talking about decisions and so forth. Let's go to the fifth chapter of the book of Luke. And it came to pass that as the people were pressed to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Galilee.
Galilee, another name.
He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. You notice that? Now put this together. He entered one of the ships, which was Simon's, prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So we're well up into the day. They had fished all night. Right. This is one tired group of men. All night long and caught nothing. Now, here it is daytime. They're washing the nets. They're not paying attention to anything he's saying. They're busy. I want to borrow you. Yeah, okay. I'm busy here. Now, when he left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets.
Plural.
For a draught or a haul. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. One, he made a decision. We're not going to catch anything. I'm a professional.
Yeah.
I've done this all my life. Well, yeah, the preacher wants to fish. Okay, get my net. Get that one. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Their nets didn't break. Jerry Savelle was preaching in Victoria, Texas. I flew him down there, and I had part of that service. And this young man was receiving the offering about the net-breaking, boat-sinking load. Well, I'd heard other people preach that, heard Oral Roberts preach that. Well, it was true. And the Lord said the net was rotten. I said, what? He said he did not want to wash those other nets. I'm going to go out there and throw that thing around. We're not going to catch anything. And then we come back and I can go home, go to breakfast. But did Peter get... He wasn't Peter yet. He was Simon Bar-Jonah. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees. He couldn't fall down to his feet. He's knee-deep in fish. He knew what he'd done. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished and all that were with him at the draught, the haul of the fish which they took in the middle of the day.
This was not monofilament line.
No.
This is heavy braid. Fish can see it.
Listen, those nets are huge.
Yeah.
But in the daytime, the lake is clear, just like bath water. So clear. They see the net and run from it. Not till this day.
I think they came to hear Jesus teach. All those fish just came up.
Well, now, when he told Peter what to do, he used Peter's boat. But, of course, he knew what he was going to do. He knew Peter would be right up on top of the list, the number one man. Peter, James, and John. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them. Mm-hmm. But now look what he said. Simon Peter saw it, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, or I'm a disobedient man. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught, the haul of fishes they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth you will catch men.
Now, can I show you a positive side of this? Why this failure of a fisherman, who's a professional, why did he go ahead and call him and be a disciple? The clue to the whole thing is that they've worked all night long, they're tired, and they're out cleaning the nets, and they're out working the nets. I looked that word up in the original Greek, and it's the same word used in Ephesians where it talks about the fivefold ministry for the equipping of the saints. Equipping of the saints means mending the nets. He knew, I can transition that to equipping saints. If he's got that much diligence to, even while he's tired and catching nothing, to go ahead and get his nets ready for tonight, then I can use that same work ethic, if you will, to equip the saints. He's looking in the future. He's looking at Peter's destiny. This is why I said, okay, I'm going to use the same diligence that you use to be a fisher of men. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change you from fishing fish.
Now, turn over here to Matthew 8. No, I'm in Mark. Excuse me. Let me get back here to Matthew. Didn't read right.
Matthew 8.
And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. I do this every morning. It's right there on my mirror in my bathroom. Well, mine's a shower room. But right there, right where I shave, I see it in my mind right now. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and arose and ministered to them. When evening was come, they brought many, were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, that was at Peter's house. And it was his mother-in-law. Now, he fulfilled it. Those that were possessed with devils, the chastisement of their peace was on him. And he fulfilled that word.
Let me show you another boat example. Mark chapter 4 with these fishermen. The disciples have a problem. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 30, well, let's look at verse 35. And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side, the same lake. And when they had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, so that the waves beat the ship, and it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of a ship asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind obey him? They were paddling and they were bailing with Jesus in the boat with them. The power or the way available out of it was not chosen until it was too late. They didn't make a choice to get the power that was available to get them out of this. They were choosing their way.
I could see it in my heart and mind's eye. Peter being so bold. Look back there and see him asleep. And just stand up and say, The master said, go to the other side, and I'm going if I have to walk.
If I have to paddle it myself and bail it myself.
The same thing would have happened.
Faith never occurred to them until they were about to perish.
Yeah.
And he had just taught them how that Satan comes to steal and choke the word.
And I mean, that was the teaching.
That's right.
In the fourth chapter.
That's exactly right. They never occurred to them there's another way out. There's a supernatural way out. It may have never occurred to you there's a supernatural way out.
Yes, there is.
Other than the way you're trying to do things right now. But you have to make the choice. You have to make the decision to follow his way.
And
there's another way besides one net.
This is a spirit, soul, body, financially, socially decision.
Mm-hmm.
We're integrated system. What you do in your spirit affects your mind. What you do in your mind affects your spirit. What you do in your soul affects your body, and the decisions that we make based on what. We are, each one of us, are triune beings.
Mm-hmm.
We are created by a triune God. We are, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, we are spirit and soul and body.
That's right.
And Hebrews 12. So, all of our decisions and life decisions have some kind of base to them. And now, in the book of James, if we turn over there quickly.
The mind of Christ is an anointed way of thinking.
And James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his
ways. That's
right. So where's the wavering? The wavering of faith. The flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was healed. I guess I'm not. Well, you didn't have any business thinking that. You need to know you're healed and never change. Well, Gloria and I were the same way. We believed in healing, Greg.
Yeah.
When we got healed sometimes, sometimes we didn't. That's just the way it was. No, that's just what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
But then we met two gentlemen. Oral Roberts and Kenneth E. Hagin changed everything. And I can think of the times, I can see it in my mind how these things changed. And for a long time there, I had my New Testament here in my pocket where my cigarettes used to be. And so And so I just take it out and read it, you know, the way I used to, you know, get, do this stupid stuff. Take it out and look at it. Came back from Tulsa to preach at Grace Temple and came there where I lived in high school. And we got in there, and of course, Mother grabbed Gloria and just headed to the back part of the house. I said, Mother, you got any tapes? Yeah, I'll look in there on that Webcore tape recorder. Mm-hmm. So there it was in just a white box. So I sat down there on her couch. You can write your own ticket with God on one side and Paul's revelation on the other by Kenneth E. Hagin.
Yeah.
And I found out I had an angel. I'm going to do it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation? I thought, I have an angel? I slid off that thing, and by the time it got, I was sitting there under Mother's coffee table. Gloria came in there and said, Gloria, sit down. I listened to it both sides of the tape twice. My introduction to Kenneth Hagin changed my entire thought life.
You now have an anointed way of thinking.
Yes. And I found out where faith came from.
That's right.
Now, I was watching Oral Roberts, and he talked about faith. And I realized by watching him, he used faith like a mechanic uses a tool.
That's right.
And I told him that. I said, you go to your faith toolbox and you get whatever you need and you use it. But then I found out where it came from. It comes by hearing. So my think, decision, thought life. And I realized every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of life, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. Whew. The book changed.
Yeah, absolutely. See, a lot of people do that with healing. They'll do it with their salvation. They'll renew their minds. They'll get everything. But there's one stronghold left. We read it at the beginning of this week.
Yes.
Make that decision to get out of debt. That young man could not, I've done all this stuff, he told Jesus. Yeah, one thing you lack. He couldn't break that stronghold to make the quality decision to get out of debt. Jesus paid my debt, and I'm not supposed to go back into debt, because that will limit a lot of the other decisions that I've made a quality choice in, because I'm physically in monetary debt. I mean, you have freedom with this ministry because it's debt-free.
And Greg, that was so many years ago, but when it spilled over, there was, we leased some cars from a young man that I knew well out in West Coast. Beautiful, cream-colored Chrysler. It had these bronze-looking seats on the inside of it. I'd drive it to the airport and come back, and the battery would be dead. Oh. And they just couldn't find anything wrong with it. Well, they charged the battery up, and then it worked fine for a while, and then something else crazy. So I called him, and I said, "I'm sending you these cars back. Is there something?" I said, "No." I said, "Now." And if you, they were leased, see. I said, if you lose any money on these, the ministry will reimburse you for it. Well, all right, Kenneth, that's the way you want it. I said, yeah, Bob, that worked. Because the Lord said to me, leasing is just another way to borrow money. You're just trying to get around the issue here. So, and here, thou see what I was doing? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a stronghold yet. Mm-hmm. A man called me. He said, is this the Mr. Copeland that had this beautiful Chrysler from, and called the man's name, I said, yeah. He said, Copeland, I want to tell you something. He said, I just wanted you to know. He said, that's just the finest car. He said, I never have a bit of trouble with it. And he said, it's a really pretty car, too. I said, yeah, it's a beautiful car. And I just thought, you hadn't got the devil operating on it like I did. That little devil just pulling that stuff on me. Because I was monkeying around with the direction God had given us. We had to learn to make the decision and stick with it.
Right.
When we did that, Greg, I'm very impulsive. Gloria's not. She wants to think about it a while. And I look at all the things I would have done and then had to get out of it some way or other. But now I can't. Nope. I'm committed. I made the quality decision. Gloria made it. George and all the rest of the ministry made it. No, can't do it. We don't have the money. We'll believe for the money. We'll sow first. Yeah. I learned that from Oral.
Yeah.
You told a story about your father had an opportunity to be a very, very wealthy man if he would testify a certain way in court.
Yeah.
And he made a decision.
He made that decision. Being in the life insurance business, in the life insurance business, the first commission, almost all of it goes to the salesman. Then, as the people continue to pay on that policy, whatever it is, then that salesman gets a small commission in the renewals, if they renew the policy. Well, then the director gets a small part of that. And so what a person wants to be is a district manager or a general agent of the state or so forth, and then the renewals build up to where it becomes quite large. And this man that had hired my dad originally, well, my dad became a district agent and then my dad was working under him. He started his own company. He's a very capable man. He started his own company. It was in the contract of National Lowline Insurance Company. You could start another company. There's nothing wrong with that. And you could keep your renewals from National Lowline, and he was depending on that. But if you offered anybody else under you a job in that company, you forfeit your renewals. He offered my dad stock in that company. He offered him a large, large lot of dollars to sign and come with him. They put my dad on the stand in this lawsuit. And that attorney said, Mr. Copeland, did Mr. So-and-so offer you a position in the new company? Yes, he did. Did he offer you money? Yes, he did. It's over. My dad got to keep his job. I said, Dad, you just walked away from... Well, I just looked at me like $3 million right off the bat. I said, how'd you do that? He said, Kenneth, that's easy. It was a lie.
That's right.
You tell the truth regardless.
Anointed choice.
Yes.
And thinking.
And decision.
Yes, sir.
He made that decision many years before. And we're out of time again today. But there's always Monday. Hallelujah. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, my name is Spencer Nordyke. The very first words that man heard after God created him were words of blessing. That blessing empowered man to be prosperous in every good thing he put his hand to. God's will for your prosperity has not changed. He's provided you with covenant promises in His Word that guarantee your right to receive abundance and provision in every area of life. Let's take a look at one of those covenant promises. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, it says, "Let him who is taught in the Word share with him who teaches in all good things. Do not be deceived. You cannot cheat God. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he that sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. God's promise to you in these verses is when you sow or share your finances with the one who has taught you the Word, then God is bound by His covenant promise to you to make sure that you reap an abundant harvest in return. Today is offering day on the broadcast, and we would like to provide you with a good place to sow your finances into so that you can reap an abundant harvest. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are thankful for every seed that you sow into this ministry. And every offering we receive, we pray over and agree with you for the abundant harvest that God has promised you. Together with you, we are preaching the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around the middle, on every available voice. Let me pray over your offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone giving today, everyone sowing into the word they heard today is receiving an abundant harvest that's exceedingly abundantly over and above all that they ask or think. Father, I thank you that we receive from you today in Jesus' name. If you have need of prayer over anything else in your life, I invite you to call our prayer line because KCM has licensed prayer ministers on staff that are ready to help you find the scriptures you need, and they'll pray the prayer of faith with you.
Just a little nugget before you go. Even so, faith, if it hath not corresponding action, is dead being alone. Amen.
Amen.
Corresponding action. You're going to believe God to lose weight? Get on the treadmill. You have to have corresponding action. God bless you for being with us all this week. Now, Monday, we're going into a different level. And we're going into God being in the past and in the future at the same time. Only God can do that because He had it all planned to start with, and we're in His plan. And we'll see you Monday. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Greg Stevens, the whole class, reminding you one more time that God loves you and we love you and
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes,
amen.
Praise God. We'll see you Monday.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you to help you grow spiritually and live in victory every day. Feed your spirit with God's Word. Go to kcm.org.uk to watch or download the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Read faith-based content in the Believer's Voice of Victory interactive magazine or in our daily devotional, From Faith to Faith. All available to you free. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.